sort of 10 minutes walk from the beach.
Yeah.
And it's a friend of mine who's bought this caravan, and she said, Lorraine, you love caravans, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. She said, well, would you like to go and stay? I was like, try and stop me.
I have been in a caravan once with my other half in Scotland, and it's a beautiful place, and it's a place I've been going to for years, but he moans because he's quite broad shoulders and he says, I am never staying anywhere again where I can't walk through the door front on. He had to turn sideways every time to go through it, and he got really pissed off by the end of the week. So we have been back since, but we've stayed in Abothy at the end of it's about a mile and a half track from the main road, down by the side of a lock with no electricity, no gas, no mains water, and he's looking. Glamping. He's fine there. He loves that.
Basic. Yeah.
No, he loves that because he had to burn stuff.
Gypsy caravan style, you know, the old.
Yeah.
So we stayed in one of those last year for a weekend. Maybe. Sorry,
That's it. You started.
We're on.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's what I knew. That's why I just kept you talking.
you're the newbie in this, so.
Okay. So what are we talking about?
Whatever you want. So we started talking about caravanning, which leads on to what we were talking about, kind of, in the depot, which was eco and climate change and living more sustainably. Did you like that link, Martin?
Yes, I did, yeah. I'm saying it. Lorraine.
Hi.
There you are, right, we've got your name in now.
Thank you, yeah, I'm Lorraine.
Between Laura. it's the informality of it.
Okay.
So the theme has just come out of nowhere.
Okay.
And there is no theme, and there's no time.
Okay.
Except that Laura says she wants to go in half an hour at the maximum. So that's fine, it won't be you. So, yeah.
Okay. So, we were talking about the environment and climate change. I actually spoke to somebody last week who used to work for a university and said, we've already tipped over.
Yes, that's true. That's what Steve Shelley actually says in his book. We've tipped over now. And there was somebody on a LinkedIn article that I wrote. Mm-hmm. An article that I wrote, and somebody came back, and it wasn't about climate change, but they said that in their opinion, we'd tipped now. We've gone past the point of no return.
David Attenborough's 12 years don't exist. And the people that are involved in doing something, trying to do something about the environment, I think each person has to be responsible.
I agree.
And take personal responsibility. So you need to look at what you buy, how you buy it, who you buy it from, what's in it. So we need to be more mindful of what we actually do. Whether we can save humanity, I don't know. I can't answer that question. That is out of my control.
That's the important distinction. We're not saving the planet.
No.
It's saving humanity.
Yeah.
We're just little ants, itchy ants on the back of the planet, and if she wanted to, she could shake us all off.
There's a book I read years ago called Ishmael, and it's the story of a gorilla who lives in an apartment, and it's, can gorillas survive while humans live on the planet? And it takes you through everything from the hunter-gatherer, so how we've evolved as human beings. And why do we think we're top of the tree? We're not top of the tree. We're just part of the evolution, the process of evolution as we go through. So
there was one thing I meant to pick it up with Steve, but we always run out of time on these things. That's another thing I have. Mm. Yeah, we shouldn't be time constrained. I know there's lots of other reasons, but he said that one thing that jarred with me was that the planet can sort itself out. So we've got to sort ourselves out.
Yeah.
And I thought, aren't they linked?
No, not really, because the planet as a lump of rock spinning through the cosmos would exist if there was no life on it at all. That's the distinction that I think we need to make. That.
So you don't think we are destroying it? Or you just think of that?
We are destroying the current ecology. Whatever happens with the current ecology, the Earth will find a way back again, because it's done that numerous times.
The Earth is bigger than us.
Yeah.
It doesn't evolve around us.
No. Or revolve around us.
Or revolve around us. But we like to think that it does.
Yeah.
And sort of,
because we're ego-driven creatures. Yeah.
So are we is there a solution then that we're looking to find, or isn't there a solution?
Population control has got to come number one, whether people like to talk about it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't particularly like the idea of saying to somebody you can only have one child, but at the end of the day, if we don't, the exponential growth of humanity is not sustainable. As I said to Steve, unless we get the alien intervention and they come down and they sweep us all up or destroy us, I don't know how we're going to.
Well, each time when I see there's a new epidemic, I sort of go, is this it?
Is this the one?
Is this nature's way of curbing population growth?
Yeah. So what's our reaction, though, to that? What do we do if we see an Ebola or something? I'm guessing it is.
Well, I don't know. I think we
spend our time trying to stop it.
We do, but at the same time, if you look at antibiotic resistance, that is the biggest threat at the moment. But we still go to the doctors asking for antibiotics for viruses that cannot be cured by antibiotics.
And the doctors stupidly give them out.
Yes, but they're learning.
Yeah.
Fast enough?
No.
Right.
No, nothing is fast enough.
So things are, when you said tipping point, I thought you were going to say that the universities have understood what they need to do to change. But you're saying that they realise now that they've gone too far and they don't know what to do about it all.
I think the politicians and everybody know about it, hence the recent interest in space again.
Oh, do you know? That's true.
Yes.
Yeah, I hadn't linked those two, but yeah.
You know, we've gone too far.
We think expanding the human, just because there's a...
I mean, it's like a science fiction film, isn't it? You know, we're sort of the elite will get whisked off to somewhere else that they've probably already got lined up.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
So, when we're talking about scaling down to something local, maybe they're a local elite. They've got their own ideas out there. That's already all predetermined, or as Steve sort of alluded to, that it's what we do locally that's going to filter out.
If you are lucky enough to live rurally and are prepared to start to learn to live off the land again, I think you could survive whatever's coming. If you want to continue your life in a city, consuming what you're consuming now in the way that you are now, I don't think you stand a chance of maintaining that lifestyle. So it's a choice.
In our lifetime.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
For me, I live in a city. So, and I have a mid-terraced Victorian house with a back garden, and in that back garden I grow my vegetables organically. I have hens.
Are these noisy hens?
They are actually, but there's no cockerel. My two girls do still shout. So I get my eggs from there. Currently I'm reaping the benefits of tomatoes, broccoli, got a whole herb patch. The cauliflowers aren't going too well, I will say.
I've not done very well.
And I've made my home chemical free. White vinegar is the most amazing thing. White vinegar and lemon juice, that's all you need for cleaning. So I'm trying to stay away from purchasing things that will harm the planet, that actually harm our health. Everyone's obsessed with chemical air fresheners. Are you
and
mad?
Antibacterial wipes.
Oh God, no.
So do your neighbours know about this? Do you live in the mid terrace?
Yes.
You have immediate neighbours.
Interestingly, one of my neighbours, if she has any food left over, any vegetables, she leaves it on the side in the garden for me to feed the chickens. So we are...
It was this unsolicited.
It's unsolicited, but I'd sort of ask for the grass cuttings because then that's really good for putting on the potatoes. Right. you know, to start...
Do you share food with them?
Yeah, I mean, I often give them eggs and things like that. So... Yeah, they're aware, and also because they've got very young children, it's nice for the kids to
see
a different way.
But you see, that's my point that I made earlier. You are actually making the changes. You're not trying to live the way that you've always lived or the way that is kind of accepted this century to live. You're making the changes. If people can't do that and can't or won't start growing stuff or trying to live a little bit more organically, then I don't think that cities aren't as sustainable, in my opinion.
Is it costing you money to have a sustainable house?
Well, it depends. Because if I look at the reduction in my shopping bill, because I don't buy all the detergents and everything else. So it balances out.
That's what I'm getting at. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
The initial cost of trying to be environmentally friendly is actually quite high.
Is it prohibitive? That's what I'm saying.
It depends. But everybody can do a little bit of something. And it's actually quite nice. You feel good when you do something a little bit different rather than just wandering around the supermarket buying the same old rubbish that has been produced by the same companies that are creating fields filled with palm oil and processing the everything out of food. It feels good.
So if you can make everybody feel good, then they won't need to think about whether they go to the supermarket, they just do it.
Hard.
Well, exactly right. So everybody thinks it's hard.
It's taken me 4 years to get where I am now, and I'm still not all the way. So it's become quite an obsessive project.
Yeah.
Because you are battling the marketing, you are battling the big companies day in, day out. You're also battling the government because they support big business, because big business feeds them money.
Well, supposedly feeds them.
Yes.
That's tipping point. Let's use that as the.
Yeah.
That's, I feel, is a bit like that. We were talking about it earlier with Laura about saying that, you know, most big businesses these days are funded by capital input, which has got a return. But they don't get the return, which is what's happening. They're not going to feed it in, so it's going to stop quite quickly, I think.
Hopefully.
But I think because they literally will live by their sword, or die by their sword, whatever the phrase is, because they won't have the money to invest in any. So it comes down to us individuals, small businesses, small amount of money, or whatever it might be, just to be sustainable and be happy. We'll talk about this. You know, I don't need all this sort of consumer stuff, but my big thing is I think I can come back towards fixing things as a starting.
Yeah.
So there's a whole thing at the moment about people saying I'm chucking my new washing machine out and because I want a new one. Or I said, well, I'll fix it. Some people can fix things, when you say you give eggs to your neighbours, do they not go to the supermarket because you supply them with eggs? Do they not buy? Yeah, you see what I mean.
I mean, I don't have enough hens to supply all my neighbours with their eggs. They still need to go to the supermarket and buy their produce.
Right.
Whatever it is that they need. I can't enforce my views on them. But if I can help them to see things in a slightly different way, then we're on a road. You know, it's that metaphorical journey.
So you don't become unusual. There was what's her name? What's the who won Bake Off?
Nadja.
Right.
Nadja Hussain.
Is that her name? Yeah. She was talking about she keeps chickens as part of it, and she has and everything else. And she said her neighbours don't want something along the line. They're really noisy.
They are. I was surprised how noisy they are.
Chickens are noisy. So, but she's, you know, she keeps them happy by feeding them cakes or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm getting at this corporation. Yeah. So if you, I don't know, you could teach people to look after chickens, or they could have their own chickens or something else, and you, I don't know, would that work? You know,
I mean, I'd love it if everybody in our backyard all decided that we all want chickens, so therefore we build a giant chicken coop and... You know, that's in one garden, and then there's vegetables in another one, and then fruit trees in another one. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, because all the terrace houses are all linked traditionally, and we've put fences up. I've never understood why you build houses.
But there's a central passageway. Genel, that's a whole other conversation. So there's four houses in our backyard. So if those four houses actually
came together
and made a a sustainable garden. We've got, it's a little community.
Yeah.
A little community garden. There's also across the road where there used to be terrace houses and it's been knocked down. There's a little car park and some greenery. And I actually do a little bit of guerrilla gardening. I'd got a tree too many. And so I took the tree and planted it on council land. Now that's frowned upon, but I've got a tree that I haven't got space for. I'm not going to kill that tree. Mm. And I planted it.
So who frowns upon it?
Well, you're not supposed to plant things where they're not.
But isn't that being that nice thing about being anarchic? That
yeah.
Nobody's going to stop you growing a tree, are they?
My neighbour, she watched me from the window. She thought I was burying something.
Did she wonder who you'd killed?
That neighbour that you didn't want my chickens, she complained about it.
I said, no, I was planting a tree, it's fine, you know, let's go and let's take a spade and dig a hole. Yeah. I said, if it was furry something, I would have done it in the dark, not in broad daylight.
You might have got away with it.
But I'm quite lucky, because we live at Healy, there are cherry trees. They're dropping cherries all over the place at the moment.
Edible cherries?
Yeah.
Wow.
Plums are everywhere, so if
wild plums, it's a bit not yeah. So you can go and I mean I know Healy that it's like the Sheaf, what's this, what's
Sheaf
it?
View, yeah,
Sheaf View pub, yeah, yeah. It's covered in the fall, the pavements are covered in cherries.
And
can't we harvest them? Well, I mean, I should go and pick them.
Go and pick them,
yeah. Well, yeah, right.
And there's some apple trees on Myrtle Road, and it's really quite funny because somebody parks their car underneath these apple trees. And I go, why would you park your car there? Because it gets battered and bruised as all these apples sort of fall off. Because, to be honest, the trees haven't been looked after that well. So they're just sort of, they're too big. We've got three mulberry trees as well.
Wow.
So this is in a city. Yeah. So I really feel lucky to live where we live, and actually living in Sheffield, we're very fortunate because other cities don't have
the greenery.
No. And I go to London a lot, and I'm always grateful to come home. You know, I can cope with London for 2 days, and then I'm going, get me out of here. But since they've changed the buses for the, I don't know if the hybrid or electric, the air is a lot cleaner around King's Cross and St Pancras.
You've noticed it.
Yeah.
I've noticed it for the last 10 years. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
I was in London when they changed overnight from smoking to no smoking tubes. And everybody bar nobody on the first day, that was literally overnight, bang, gone, no smoking. Everybody says, well, what the hell were we doing?
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, you know, the place was dirty, smelly, people just weren't with it, and then suddenly you showed it overnight. So can we have a similar effect? Because it kind of was, we've always been talking about it takes too long to do it, you know, we're sort of, so can we have a...
Well, in order to do that, you need legislation.
Okay.
That's how the smoking ban worked. Nobody. I was a smoker.
What did you call that thing?
A tooter.
A tooter.
Yeah.
Would you explain what a tooter is?
A tooter is an e-cigarette.
Was that your term? Or was that?
Yeah. No, that's just what I call it.
Deepest, darkest dealing.
Yeah, it's an electronic cigarette, and I did so. What I actually did was changed my
addiction.
Yeah,
I went cold turkey.
Oh, did you? Oh, you see, I'm still struggling. The goal is to get rid of the tutor as well. But
15 years ago, actually, I stopped smoking.
Well done, yeah.
Oh, right. So you smoked as well.
Yeah, I was I wouldn't say a heavy smoker, but I was a smoker because that's. It was considered cool, wasn't it, back in the day? So
well,
we
doctors
did it.
Used to smoke, yeah, and if you were stressed, they'd tell you to go and have a cigarette.
I've never been a smoker, but I have noticed that kids smoke now because it's cool.
Because
they don't
smoke
normally, but they go out and have a smoke. Yeah. You know, go out on the town. But they're not addicted to it, like some...
It's social smoking, isn't it? So but I think it's the most unsociable thing. Now I smell it and I think it's disgusting. Yeah.
So they've got the mental willpower or whatever it is to just social smoke. Why can't smokers stop smoking?
Because there's something that is triggered in your brain. If you look at addictions,
it's a dopamine reaction. Is it dopamine? I can't remember. What's the other one, the happy drug?
Serotonin.
Yeah.
There are different chemical, but also you can be more predisposed. You can, predisposed. You can be predisposed to addictions.
That's right. True. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are people predisposed to addictive behaviour.
Yep.
So you just go from one addiction to another.
Yeah.
So do you think it's like a self gratification kind of?
There are so many things behind it. It could be to do with childhood traumas.
Yeah.
It can be something that's within your psyche, within your genes, within something else. There are lots of different reasons. There's still a lot of research being done on addictions.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I say, I've swapped one thing for another. So I haven't actually changed the habit.
No.
It's just the substance that has changed.
I think I started smoking because I grew up in a household with a mum and dad that smoked. So it was just normal.
Yeah, all my family
and
smoked.
I think now it's less normal to see smoking. So hopefully it should be less likely that people would start to smoke. But from what you're saying, maybe not.
I think it's gone. It's gone dipped down where it was antisocial to smoke.
Yeah.
And certainly some of the kids that I know, we talk about kids, we've gone about this before, they smoke openly just when they fancy, you know, just when it looks, it's an affectation rather than being addictive.
Yeah. But do you think part of that is to do with the e-cigarette and vaping craze?
Yeah.
That it's just like, oh, that's now, it's not cool to do that anymore.
It's a craze.
Yeah.
So they may go, oh, look, that looks really cool. But then that novelty wears off.
So what's the next thing?
Yeah. I mean, some countries have actually banned e-cigarettes.
Mm. Should, horrible things.
Are those little canisters, aren't they? They're little aluminium canisters.
Well, they're all sorts of shapes and sizes, aren't they?
The reason we mentioned is that everywhere I go out in the Peak District in a nice lay-by,
yeah,
you get out and they're covered in these little silver.
That's
amyl nitrate.
Yeah. That's worse.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's people actually getting high.
Oh, right.
Is that GBH?
Is this
GBH or is that?
Are these legal highs?
Yeah. Well,
no.
No, they're unlegal. Amyl nitrate.
Yeah. It's,
so it's nothing to do with vaping.
No.
Or whatever you want.
You sniff it, don't you?
Yeah.
Is it a sniffy one? Yeah. It's
been
around
smelling
salts
for fainting ladies.
Yes. Right, well, but these canisters are littering all the lay-bys now.
Yeah.
I go, sat in the van, I got a black bag in the back, and I fill it up every now and again when we stop at a lay-by.
Yeah.
And I literally spend 10 minutes just clearing everything up.
I spend 10 minutes sniffing.
Sniffing the empties.
Well, maybe that's about my fix. I don't know. But I do. I'm going to throw this one in because the basis that people seem to want to create something that they feel like they're justified. You know, like litter
litter
societies. No. They literally go around. I am Netheridge's.
Oh, I see.
Litter, a form of society.
Yeah.
Litter picking communities.
That's it, yes. But I was trying to avoid the word community because we're trying to make community sound good.
Okay.
But that sounded, they lead their self righteous or whatever.
They're group.
And they make you feel guilty. And I said, well, wait a minute. I spend most of my life picking up litter, but I don't have to be part of your group. And they look at you and say, well, why not? I said, well, why? Well, you know, I'm doing it.
What are you doing different?
I don't need to spend Tuesday evenings feeling righteous.
I take the dog out every morning and I target 3 pieces of litter while I'm out. So while I'm out, I have to pick up 3 pieces of litter. I walk the dog, put the rubbish in the bin. It's normally a lot more than 3. And report fly tipping if I see fly tipping. So, but I don't need a group to do it.
No, exactly right. But you can spread the word by just being a
just
good example.
Do it. Yeah.
But when you're in small communities or close communities, in terms of concentrated communities, then people will do that, and they will start cleaning up their backyards, you know, I mean, I won't use the word, but, you know, literally, you know, whatever's been dumped in there, they react and they start, and that's when it starts, you know, and then the next little group of people clean up. And before you know it, the whole of the area is all cleaned up.
Well, it was Mother Teresa who said, if everybody cleaned to their own doorstep, the world would be a much cleaner place, yeah.
And actually, that's what people used to do, isn't it?
What I'm saying, so we've lost something.
In our consumerist world, where everything became throwaway, and there is an expectation that that's what we pay council tax for.
Yeah, somebody else is going to clear up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lack of personal responsibility.
Yeah, that's, this is where I've lose the plot, because people are saying, you know, chuck it on the floor and say, oh, no, that's because, you know, somebody got a job to clean that up. You know, whatever it is, you know, it's just this sort of cycle. No, it's become very combative. Mm. You know, it's a male-female thing. What I do is if I'm ever with female friends or something else, we see them, you send the women in, because people are less likely to kick them or hit them. So, you know, the kids, I'd say it's not kids, it's people who do it. You know, I've been coming driving down motorways, and there's people hurling stuff out the windows. You know, if you ever look down the side of the roads, you know, in the motorways, and it amazes me how much rubbish that people must chuck out of a car at 70 miles an hour.
There was a guy the other day, and I'm walking the dog, and he's got out of his car and he's smoking a cigarette, and he just threw his empty cigarette packet, and I just went, "Oh, thanks for your rubbish." And he said, "I am so sorry. Oh my God, I never realised." He was absolutely mortified,
well,
and he couldn't stop apologising. And I said, "It's all right, give it to me. I'll put it in the bin." He says, "No, no, no, no. I'll take it with me. I'll put it in my."
Was it just habit then, do you think?
So yeah.
He didn't even realise that he'd done it. Mm.
But if I'd said that to him, what do you think? Would he have had the same reaction?
I don't know. Possibly not. But it was just like, "Oh, thanks for your rubbish." Yeah. And he sort of went, "Oh, God," you know.
Right. That's good. And I think so people, it will spread. But coming back to my original point, how do we make it happen quicker? So you've got these, you know, things.
I don't think there is a quick way, because you're talking about changing the culture.
And we didn't get to the place that we are now overnight. Yeah. This is going back from the 50s onwards, really, isn't it?
Okay.
So it's not going to be a quick fix. Until people see that their lifestyle is being
threatened,
a lifestyle change is being forced on them, and then that will hopefully make people more proactive about trying to alter things so that their lifestyle doesn't change too much. At the end of the day, humans are inherently selfish.
Mm.
Take away something that they value, and that's what's going to get.
But
you know,
I also think that people are getting a little bit lost. They don't know what to do, because there are so many conflicting messages out there. What can I do to make a difference?
Even if it's only
there isn't
one thing,
an answer. Yeah. So I think that's one thing we can do, and that's sort of, I don't know, maybe a podcast or maybe something else, getting a message out there. This week,
you can
do this.
That's a good idea for podcasting.
I'm looking to how I can get these amazing messages from these, even the few we've done. There's some great thoughts and processes, you know, people. How do I get it out there? How do I make it? Not my responsibility, but there are, you know, we have a meet propagating it. So,
well, I'm thinking of doing a 52-week project book, similar to the diary. But you can write a little bit, but there will be an activity that you do. How do you find it? And you can build on each activity.
Mm. Right. We're nearly up to our time already, as we always do, every time. It's without fail. I mean, Laura knows what I'm talking about.
This has been fabulous. I've really enjoyed it.
I thought you would.
Well, you're at 20 minutes, half an hour before you even thought. Now I've forgotten my thread. What was I going to say? Oh, yes, right. On the podcast, I've left a deliberate area which has got your name against it with a bit of Latin to fill in.
Okay.
And everybody says, "Oh, you've left it the other day. So you haven't done your website."
Lorem ipsum, that kind of thing.
Yeah, which is you normally do as a writer than anyone else. I've deliberately put it in. It has exactly the reaction I thought it would do. Because, "Oh, you've made a mess of that," you know. And they pointed out to me that I'd left it. I said, no, that's for the podcasters to kind of react.
Okay.
And, I think, now, what I'm wanting from you, and I'm keeping that, I should be saying to others, but it's going to get through, is that when you listen to some of the others, or when you get a chance, and allow you, is to just have a sentence that what you thought that meant.
Okay.
And then we're going, so it's a bit like your 52-week idea. So we've all got very similar. You know, a lot of joined up thinking is just making it some sort of conduit. Maybe the podcasting might be a part of that, to start that process off. The last email I sent out was about the fame. Did you know people famously say something and then people laugh onto it? I was laughing my head off out loud. I might be completely out of the loop, but Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
There's the reaction, right? She's up there headlining prison reform.
What?
Yeah. Exactly.
You're joking.
No, she is headlining something about prison reform in the United States. Because it's, now, obviously, I'm not saying she's stupid, I'm sure she isn't stupid, but she's got no background and nothing that relates to that. But somebody's put a name against something and it's got out there in lights.
Celebrity endorsement.
Hate celebrities. Hate it.
So why don't we have our local celebrities? So Lorraine becomes a local dog walking litter lounge. Litter lounge. That was close.
Hey, throw it all over.
So whatever, evangelist. That's a celebrity.
Okay.
You know, and that might filter out through email or something. So we don't need this global idea.
Doing something for yourself and for your community.
Yeah. And people respect it, even if you're not given it. I don't, people I don't think want all this sort of sycophantic stuff.
No.
But people will respect for what you do, even if they don't say it. The things will flow through it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the point about thing, Laura's now on the third one. You need to have a look. Say something.
So how do we find this thing? Do you send it through
to
us?
I'll send it to you. Well, I've got your email address now.
Yeah.
And I'll send you a link.
Okay.
And I'll add you to the... We've got lots of subscribers.
Brilliant.
And there's maybe a thousand, I think, on this one.
Or you just go to 7thairwave.io. That's right, isn't it?
Nearly. And this is where... 7thairwave.com.
Oh, okay. .com on that one,
though. 7thwave. .io, or the easy one, the whole cover links everything, is Planet Zulon, so if you go on to, which is the XOOLOLA.
Okay, so you set up this to achieve.
We need to make money. That's
okay,
the first thing.
Yeah.
But it's not making.
It needs to be sustainable.
It needs to be sustainable using all the length. But it's actually, and we'll have another conversation with this thing, as a sort of kind of following up.
Okay.
And our content was wasted, in my opinion. We spent, people paid a lot of money for us to put together our subject matter experts, and it just disappears. Nobody uses it.
Yeah.
It's great. It's up, we've still got it. It's all content, but it doesn't do anything. This is bringing all that together and saying, right, this is how I think it would work.
Okay.
But it was also, you wanted to build communities.
Yeah.
It's to build online communities.
So it's not down to individuals coming up with the answer. It's actually exactly the communities built up.
Fabulous.
But I will send you another. Well, now we see we've gone off another tangent.
Time to stop.
So I'm going to stop it.